السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. وقال تعالى: وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة، أولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن. إن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته سرا شكر فكان خيرا له، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الصبر عند الصدمة الأولى، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. In this suffer and in this journey of ours in this world, and that's the reality of our stay in this world, it is but merely a journey, a suffer. A person left from alami arwah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed all the souls, alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? Every single soul, myself and you, we all acknowledge the wahdaniyat and the rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalu bala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world, and this body that we have is but merely a vehicle which will take us from one point, from one destination to another destination. Like how a person travels from here to Johannesburg, sometimes it's his own vehicle, or sometimes he hires a vehicle or borrows a vehicle. So the driver sits in that vehicle. He travels from point A to point B. He then drops the vehicle off at one point. He climbs out of the vehicle and moves on. In the same way, our ruh has been placed into this body that we now have. This body of ours doesn't belong to us. This body is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hence it is impermissible for a person to injure himself. He will be sinful, because this body belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person cannot take his own life. And when the person finally reaches his destination, Allah has given him so many days to live in this world. We are all living in timeshare apartments, even though we've got the title deed for the house. The reality is it's a timeshare apartment, like our person is, he owns a block of, or he's got a timeshare in a particular property. So he's allowed to use that particular property from a certain date to a certain date. At that specified date, he has to vacate the premises. In the same way, the very house that you are living in, though you have the title deed, a time will come when the angel of death will strike, and then you will vacate the property and somebody else will then live in that same, very same property. Perhaps it's your heirs, perhaps the property will be sold to somebody else and they'll move in. So we fool ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We say, this is mine, this car is mine, this watch is mine, this property is mine. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, nothing is yours. The only thing that is yours is that food which you ate and you digested it. And that clothing which you wore until it became torn and tattered. That's yours. Otherwise everything else you're just using for a limited period of time. The very clothing that you are wearing, if the angel of death has to strike, that clothing will be removed from your body and given to somebody else. Was it really yours? Was it really yours? That beautiful vehicle which is making you feel so proud. You are enjoying all the attention. That very beautiful home that you have with all the decorations and embellishments and the features. It's the talk of the town and you feel it is yours. But when your eyes close, it will go to somebody else. Nothing is yours, respected others and brothers. And this is the deception that we all fall into. So even this body which we have is temporary. When our eyes will close, the ruh will move from that point to a next point. It goes into another world. That is why it is so easy for a believer and a mu'min at the time when a near and dear one passes away. Yes, there is grief, there is anxiety, there is pain. It should be there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he lost his beloved son, he began tearing. Some companions that were nearby, they were surprised. Sometimes we have this perception that when a person becomes pious, when the person becomes an Allah wala, so then it means he must become very strict, he must become very serious, he mustn't even smile, he mustn't even laugh, he can't play with his children, he can't be light-hearted, life will become very boring. In fact, the respected elders and brothers, when a person becomes Allah's, when he pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his life becomes life in the true sense of the word. Now he will find so much of enjoyment with his children, with his wife, with the family members. Now the person will find so much of fulfillment in his business. Now when he leaves out to go to his business, his intention is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes so fulfilling. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. He began tearing at the passing away of his child, to express emotion, to express happiness, to express sadness at the passing away of a near one. This is the right of the person who has passed away. It is no command that when the first person passed away, somebody lost his wife or somebody lost his child, then I need nothing. No, I don't. We don't express any emotion. It's wrong. When my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here, and he had such bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can any wali of Allah say he had a closer bond than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yet he teared. So Sahaba was surprised because they thought now piety means that there must be no emotions. So they say, Ya Rasulullah, you the Nabi of Allah, this tear. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Ya Ibrahim, Inna bifiraqika lamahzunun. O Ibrahim, addressing his son that had passed away, we experience, our heart experienced grief at your loss, at your separation. The heart experiences that grief. The eyes are a testimony of that grief that is being experienced in the heart. The person goes through some difficulty, the person goes through a hardship, he has an accident, there's pain, there's some sickness that he has been afflicted with, the tears roll down. This is not against piety. This is not against wilayah. Nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to the companions and the Sahaba ikram and said that yes, the heart experiences grief, the heart experiences sadness, but the tongue will only mention that which pleases Allah. Yes, now if the person starts making these statements that, you know, why is this only happening to me? And couldn't, na'udhu billah, people say, couldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find somebody else to test? Couldn't Allah find somebody else's child to take, that only my child was taken? How come only tests come to me? Allahu Akbar. Respected elders and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these sifat and qualities. The story of Luqman alayhi salam, according to some ulama, he was a Nabi, according to some he was a very pious individual. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned him in the Quran Sharif, and the entire surah has been named after him. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi mentions a very beautiful example about him, and he derives a very important and pertinent lesson which is applicable in our lives today as it was then. He said that Luqman was a slave. He was a slave. In those days, slavery was involved. And his master, because of Luqman's wisdom and his piety and his wonderful character and mannerisms, he had a very special love for him. So much of respect he had, the master had for his slave. And on this we can learn a very important point, that even though we may be employed by someone, whether the person is Muslim or non-Muslim, the bosses, the employers, but if we as Muslims develop integrity, good akhlaq, wonderful mannerisms, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn the hearts of those who have employed us. Those who are above us will begin to incline towards us. They will love us. And this akhlaq will be a means of influencing them. How often we find, respected elders and brothers, that people make this comment, that when I look at the manner in which this Muslim person is conducting his business, or the manner in which he treats his staff, so if that is Islam, then I don't want to be a Muslim. How sad this is. Whereas what is the teaching of Islam? Kindness, to be generous. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regards to business, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً كَانَ سَهْلًا إِذَا بَاعَ وَكَانَ سَهْلًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. May Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua. The Nabi of Allah is making dua that Ya Allah, have mercy. Have mercy upon that individual when he sells something. When he sells something, he is lenient. So sometimes the person comes in, he said, brother, is there, I bought little quantity, is there any discount? Was it the price that's there? Therefore, that is it. That is it. You just don't, the price is there. We become very hard. Very hard. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the total opposite. May Allah have mercy upon that person who is soft and lenient when he is selling something. And وَكَذَلِكَ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَعًا كَانَ سَهْلًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى. May Allah have mercy upon that individual who is lenient when he buys something. That if the item is marked at, let's say, 38 rand, so he tells the seller that, you know what, don't worry about the change. 40 rand, take it, don't worry, keep, put the change back into business. He is lenient. So where's my change? Where's my change? The 10 cents, to give the 10 cents as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such miserliness. Miserliness, the person becomes so attached to his wealth, so attached to his wealth, that he cannot even spend anything. Nothing. As Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, the person, he bought half a dozen eggs, and every day the wife was making one egg. And on Sunday, he said, she said, the eggs are all finished. Where all the eggs went? Where all the eggs went? And then he gave another example. He said there were three miserly individuals on the light-hearted note. Three miserly individuals. So they were all sharing their secrets on how they saved. So the one person said that, you know, I got a fan in my house. You see these fans. So he's got three blades. So what I did, I took out one blade from him. So my fan runs on two blades. So I'm saving, using less electricity. So the second miser, he said, what you do? I took out two blades. My bed runs on one plate. It's even using less electricity. So the third one said, listen to me. I didn't take out any blade at all. He said, are you saving it? He said, no, I don't even switch on the fan in the first place. All I do is when I'm feeling hot, I sit under the fan and I shake. So this is when, in Urdu they say, ke ye aadmi makhi chuse hai. Ye aadmi makhi chuse hai. Urdu ke andar makhi ka matlab fly. In Urdu, makhi means a fly. Or chusna ka matlab, the person is sucking. So what happened, how this title came, this person is so miserly, ke one day he was drinking his tea, and one fly went inside. So now the fly went inside with all a masla, that one side there is da'un, and on the other side is dawa'un. On one wing there is a sickness, and on the other wing Allah has put it, the cure for that very sickness. And the tendency of the fly is naturally to put the wing with the sickness in first. Therefore we are told that, you know, dip the fly in and then let it go out. And this can happen sometimes, the person is cooking a huge bag of food. Now he can't discard the entire food away. So all he has to do is dip it in. Sharia is practical. But nevertheless, this person, so he dipped it in and then the fly came out and started flying. So he caught the fly. He said, now you can still see there's a lot of tea on your body. So he took the fly and he stuck the little tea out and didn't let it go. So he was not even willing to part with that tea. Now this obviously is the height of miserliness. Islam and Sharia makes an effort to destroy this miserliness. Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In the wealth that Allah has blessed you with, who is the one who gave you that wealth? Allah is the one who gave you that wealth. But those who have been blessed with that wealth, there is a right for the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans in that wealth which Allah has given them. That is why it's mentioned in the riwayah that the poor person will enter Jannah 500 years before the wealthy. And one of the reasons is that the wealthy person will have to give account for every cent that he has. That you knew there was a certain family member of yours who was struggling to pay for his lights and water, but you could purchase this and you could purchase that, and you couldn't even assist this person in any way. What answer will we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned to Hazrat Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, that, O Bilal, this wealth is a calamity upon a person, illa ha'a wa ha'a, except for that individual who takes the wealth and he gives it this side, and gives it that side, and gives it this side. That wealth will become a means of benefit for that individual. So nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, the Sharia of Islam teaches us to be generous, to be kind. So coming back to what we were saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person through different conditions, variety of conditions. A test comes to an individual, and as soon as the test comes, coming back to the incident of Luqman, Allah ta'ala put it in the mind again. So Luqman was extremely pious, and as a result, his master had a deep-hearted love for him. So his master's habit was this, that whenever any fruit came, he purchased any fruit, he would first send the fruit to Luqman out of respect for him, and then allow him to partake, and what was left, then he would eat. So the master would first make the servant and slave eat, then he would eat. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives honor and respect to an individual. One day, the master purchased some melon, and it just so happened that the melon was extremely bitter. And as per his habit, he took the melon and he sent it to Luqman. He hadn't tasted it yet. But Luqman al-Hakim, when he got this melon, when he took the first bite, it was so bitter that the bitterness went throughout his entire mouth. And now the master had a lot of love for Luqman, so he watched him eating it. Luqman took the first melon, ate it, the second one, the third one, he carried on eating it, relishing it. So the master said, oh Luqman, are you not going to leave something for me today? Today you're just eating it. So he pulled back and he said, okay. Now Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali gives an incident. When the master took that melon, when he took the first bite, the bitterness was so intense that he immediately spat it out and almost fell down unconscious. The bitterness was so intense. So he turned to Luqman, he said, oh Luqman, how did you eat this? You just carried on eating it, and you seemed like you were enjoying it to such an extent. So he put his head down and he said, oh master, from your hand from your kind hand. I've been your slave for years and years, and you have blessed me with so many wonderful fruits. The sweetness was so wonderful, such a variety of sweetness. Fruits upon fruits are coming. Today, one day, some bitter fruit came. I felt ashamed to now complain. Hence, I focused on all those wonderful days and wonderful fruits that you had granted me. And I carried on eating this fruit and enjoying it, thinking of all the bounties that you had bestowed. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi says, O insan, Allah Ta'ala tests you. And as soon as some test comes in a person's life, then the person makes this comment, couldn't Allah Ta'ala find someone else to test? Why does this only happen to me? Allah, think about your life. Think about, count the blessings and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that if you have to even count a single bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to encompass it. Not even one bounty. Because behind every ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is another millions, hundreds of millions of ni'mat that are attached. Take the example of the eye. Take one eye. Person has been given two eyes. Take one eye. From the time the person was born, how many things he looked at, how much of benefit was derived from that one eye. Perhaps the person studied, he got qualifications, today he's working. Behind that one eye is another thousand ni'mats. That is why we cannot even count one bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزْوَعًا. What is the habit of insan? Very impatient. Some difficulty comes in the person's life, he becomes intolerant, impatient, frustrated. One wali of Allah, he had severe fever, so all the murids and all the friends came to visit him. So they asked him, Hazrat, kya haal hai, kaise hai? So he said, Alhamdulillah, aankh barabar chal rahi hai, zuban barabar chal rahi hai. In other words, he started counting all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are functioning so well. Alhamdulillah, my ears are functioning so well. Alhamdulillah, my tongue is functioning so well. Albatta zara bukhar hai. Yes, I do have a little bit of fever. That's all. First, he enumerated all the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, yes, just to inform you, I got a little bit of fever. That's all. No complaint against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, as we have recited in the initial, in the introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that أَحْسَبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُسْتَنُونَ. Do you think that you are going to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will not test you? This dunya is darul imtihan, this world is a place of examination. The person goes to the university or to the school to go and study, it's inevitable that he has to be evaluated, he has to be assessed, he has to do some kind of examination, he has to be tested in some way or the other. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world not for fun and for enjoyment and for entertainment. Is that what Allah created us for? Allah created us for us to earn our akhirat, to get that certificate so that we can go into our akhirat, to get that qualification. In order for us to get that qualification, we need to be tested. So Allah will test each individual in some way or the other. Sometimes Allah will deprive the person of wealth. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict the person with some medical condition. But yes, when he is afflicted with that condition, if he exercises patience, if he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he ponders over the ni'mas and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life, and then the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person, we will not even be able to count it. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةَ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Allah Ta'ala says that whoever does any good deed, I will multiply it tenfold. This is one of the specialities of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that due to the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala favored the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That every good deed that you do is multiplied 10 times. Allah Ta'ala says with regards to the Quran Sharif, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that for every single letter, بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ حَسَنَ. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said, لَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَا مِمْ حَرْفٌ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ. Meaning for every, the gist of the hadith, that for every single letter of the Quran Sharif, the person is getting rewards. 10 rewards for every single letter of the Quran Sharif that is being recited. So for every good deed, Allah has measured the reward. But with regards to sabr and patience, the sabr and patience, Allah has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That when it comes to those who are patient, that when some difficulty comes upon them, when they are afflicted with some calamity, whether it is a robbery, whether it is some sickness, whether it is cancer, whether it is a stroke, whether it is some heart complication, whether it is some affliction in one's children, one's wealth, one's business, and the person exercises patience, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This ni'mat which I have of good health, this was a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this near and dear one was a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has every right to take it away. What belongs to Allah, Allah has a right to take it. It's a pen that I have in the pocket. If I go to this brother and I mention to him that this is a pen, use it. You can take down some notes. So now he uses that pen and he continues using it. And after a period of time, I say, brother, you don't mind, can I have my pen back? Will anyone have any objection? Can we have any objection? This is my pen, I allowed him to use it and now I have every right to ask it back. Yes, he got used to the pen, he may have become a little attached to it, but he also knows that I have to give it back to the owner. In the same way, whether it is our brother, whether it is our wife, whether it is our children, these are all belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah allows us to enjoy these ni'mats and these bounties for a period of time. But then Allah ta'ala then asks for it back again. But then don't lose hope. As one alim gave a very beautiful example, he said that you have a person who's got a drawer, and in the drawer he's got some cups and saucers. He's got the cups and saucers on the upper shelf, and then he's got cutlery on the lower shelf. Now if, as an example, if this cutlery could speak, so now the owner stays and addresses the cups and saucers on the upper shelf, and says, oh, cups and saucers, this particular cup, I would like to put it on the lower shelf. Now obviously, if there was some relationship, these other cutlery would feel the pain of separation. That now we got used to this particular cup, it's an example. Now, why are you taking it away? But then the owner gives them some solace. He says, don't worry, eventually all of you will come down. All these cups and saucers will come down on the lower shelf. In the same way, Allah says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Yes, you lost your brother, you lost your mother, you lost your wife, you lost your child. But eventually, where your mother went towards the akhirat, you are also going. You will meet up again. The pain of separation will be very short-lived. But eventually, you will also go to the same place, you will also meet up. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this aspect of sabr and patience, and understanding that we will be tested, we should never ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, when a mu'min is being tested, to such an extent, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that even if a thorn pricks a believer and he exercises patience, Allah rewards him. Allah rewards him. The person jammed his finger in the door, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He felt the pain. Not that the person starts swearing every single swear word that he learned from the time he was born. No, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now the person swears, he lost all the thawab. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he endures the pain. Allah is rewarding this person. Allah is sometimes wiping away the sins because of that. So therefore, a mu'min is never a loser. That's why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, how wonderful is the affair of the mu'min. That if some goodness comes to him, he makes shukr to Allah, he is grateful to Allah. شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. There's goodness in this for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا. And if some difficulty, some calamity comes upon the person, صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. He makes sabr. This is good for him. There's khayr in this for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Of course, we should make abundant dua. Sallallahu al-afiyah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from safety, from all calamities. Do not ask for pain, do not ask for difficulty. But if it does come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then make sabr. So we should ask Allah that, Ya Allah, do not take us to the road of sabr. Do not take us to the road of sabr. Allah, take us to the road of sugar. Take us to the road of sugar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of all the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless us all with prosperity, with serenity, and protect us from all kinds of calamities. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Thank you.